Hey, good morning, family. It's good to be with you. Let's turn to Psalm 67. Psalm chapter 67. The title of this message is The Blessing of God. The Blessing of God. For those of you who have been joining us the last few weeks, you know that we've been going through a series through the book of Jonah. And I wanted to take a little pause in that series for us to look at Psalm 67 because it relates God's heart for the nations. And we're going to see the heartbeat of God here in this psalm. The reason why he blesses us. The blessings are not just to stay with us, but they're to flow through us to other people. And I want us to kind of take a deep dive in this psalm together this morning. We're going to see three things in this psalm. The first thing in verse 1 is our need for God's blessing. The second thing in verses 2 through 5 is the reason for God's blessing. And lastly, in verses 6 through 7, we'll see the certainty of God's blessing. Let's read Psalm 67 together. It says, to the choir master, with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. Verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, Selah. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word to us this morning. We thank you for your heart for us, God. Thank you that you bless us, Lord, with so many things that we don't deserve, that all of your gifts come to us from you. It's all by grace, God. We stand in your grace, we're saved by grace, and we're sustained by your grace, Lord. And I pray that you would give us a bigger vision of you this morning. I ask that you would show us the purpose, Lord, why we're here, why you've placed us on earth, that we would fulfill your call on our lives, Lord. And so help us this morning to see the big picture, to see what you're doing in the world, and to join you and partner with you in what you're doing. Be exalted in our time. Lead us and guide us in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I said before, the title of this message is The Blessing of God. And I want us to think about this as we get into this passage, right? Many people like that term blessing, right? Sometimes we say, God bless you, right? Someone sneezes, or you might say bye to someone, say, hey, God bless you, brother or sister. And we kind of throw it around a lot, this term blessing, and specifically God's blessing. But what we see in Psalm 67 is that we're in desperate need of God's blessing in our lives. And that there is a reason for this blessing, and that we can have hope for future blessings in God as well. We see all of that in Psalm 67. We see God's heart for the nations in this psalm. That God's heart beats for people to know him. Not just a particular type of person or people group, but all the nations of the world. He wants his glory to be known among the nations. The scripture says, make known his deeds among the nations. Let people know about the glory of his name. Notice in verse 1, we see our need for God's blessing. Verse 1 says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, Selah. This is an echo of what we see about the priestly blessing, excuse me, in Numbers 6, verses 24 through 26. And there God commanded his people, the priests, to bless the people with a certain type of blessing. And we see in verse 1, the psalmist pulls from that blessing. And I think it's important that we recognize that we need God's blessing in our lives. And you might say, well, why do I need God's blessing in my life? What's so important about this blessing? I think it has to do with recognizing our true spiritual condition apart from God. Because the Bible is very clear that in our natural state, the natural state that we're living in currently is a life marked by the curse. And the curse is something that came as a result of sin. When our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned against God, there was a curse that was introduced as a result of their sin. And this curse was given by God because of their sin. And ever since then, we've been living lives under the curse. And the fact of the matter is that our sin personally has led us to this place of being separated from God. So not only because of the sin nature that we're born with, we're separated from God, but also we make decisions daily that cut us off from enjoying and fellowshipping with God. And so because of this, we are in this place of needing God's blessing. We might not realize it, but we are in a desperate place where we need God's blessing upon our lives. And many times people aren't open to this because it's difficult to receive God's blessing if you don't realize that you're under the curse. Many people want to justify themselves before God to say, you know what, I'm a pretty good person. I don't really need God's blessing because I'm bringing everything to the table. I'm a good person. I'm better than those people. I'm not that bad. But what we don't understand is that hinders God's blessing from flowing to us. And this prayer here in verse 1 is really a prayer of humility. It's saying, God, you have something that I don't have. And it's petitioning God and saying, God, please be gracious to us and bless us and make your face to shine upon us. And it's interesting here, the break. We see this word Selah. Right in the middle of the sentence. In the Psalms, we see this word Selah come after, usually it's at the end of a sentence. But here it's mid-sentence. It's interesting place to put this word Selah, because that word, many people believe, means to pause. It's like you're reading something, but now pause and think about it. I think it's important that we define the word blessing. What are we talking about when we talk about blessing? I like how Warren Wiersbe defines it. He says this: a blessing is a gift from God that glorifies his name, helps his people, and through them reaches out to help others who will glorify his name. So notice there as he defines this, he says, you know what? A blessing, it's a gift from God that glorifies his name. It helps people. And through God's people, it reaches out to help others who will also glorify his name. And so this is important for us to grasp, to understand the meaning of the word blessing. Verse 1 shows us and instructs us, and it really lays this example before us that we should be people who pray for God's blessing on our lives. We should pray for God's blessing on our lives individually, but also corporately as a church. This is something that we shouldn't just take for granted. We should really pray and cry out, God, bless your people. Lord, bless our neighborhood. Bless our families. Bless us personally. But notice, this blessing is not just for our sake alone. It's for God's glory, but it's also for the good of other people as well. God's blessings are not meant to end with us, but rather they're to flow through us. Notice this in verses 2 through 5, we see the reason for God's blessing. Okay, verse 1, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Selah, here's the why. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. The psalmist is saying here, this is the reason why we're praying for God's blessing. Lord, we want your name to be known on earth. We want your saving power to be known among all nations. The blessings don't just stop with us. They're to flow through us to be a blessing to all people. And this is a problem we often run into when it comes to God's blessings. We think that the blessings are primarily for us, that we're the end goal. All right, we've been taught that from childhood, that life is about us and our personal happiness and fulfillment. But actually, the end goal here is really the glory of God, that people would see God as glorious. We're not trying to make God bigger than he is. We're trying to help people see just how great God actually is. It's not like we're looking through a microscope trying to make God look bigger. It's more like a telescope. We're showing people the greatness, the grandeur of who God is. The end goal is that God would be glorified and enjoyed throughout the nations. The blessings we receive are meant to flow to us so that they might flow through us. And many times we just end on that first note, right? We just say, God, just bless me for me, for my sake. Bring me happiness, bring me a spouse, bring me the career, my dreams. And we're not really thinking about the mission of God and how he wants to use those blessings in our lives to be a blessing to other people. We need to understand that this morning the blessings of God are really not about us primarily. They're about God first and others second. And yes, we benefit as well. But it's important that we realign our values and we put God in his rightful place in our lives. I like how David Platt says it. He says, our hearts are prone to disconnect God's blessing in our lives from God's purpose for our lives. Our hearts are prone to disconnect God's blessing in our lives from God's purpose for our lives. It's what we've been saying, that we're so prone to just say, you know what, God, just bless me for my sake. We're not really drawing that conclusion of, okay, God's actually blessing me so that I might be a blessing to other people. Maybe there's a deeper and greater reason for God's blessing in my life. We see this idea early on in Scripture. In Genesis 12, the Lord calls Abram and blesses him so that he might be a blessing to the nations. Notice what the Lord says to Abraham in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. It says this, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. Notice this, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so we see from the first book of the Bible this principle, that the people of God are blessed to be a blessing. The Lord promised Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation, and I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great, but it's not for your sake. It's so that you'll be a blessing. It's for his glory, for God's glory. It's not for Abraham's glory. I think it's important that we understand this about God's blessings, that the things, the gifts, the talents, the treasure that God has given us, we're not meant to sit on that. We're not meant to use those things so that people will give us glory, Rather, we're to use those things so that God, that people would see God as glorious. They would enjoy the Lord. I love what John Piper says. He kind of gets at the heart of missions in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, because this psalm is really a psalm about missions. But it's interesting, he says this: missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It is a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. Listen to what he's saying there. This is a very important point as we read throughout the Bible and we see that God is on mission, that we're to be on mission with Jesus, bringing the gospel to people. It's very important that we have a God-centered view of missions, of what's the end goal of missions. Piper says it's worship. Okay, worship is really the aim of missions. Missions exist because worship doesn't, he says. When we just talk about missions, we're saying, okay, that's man-centered, it's man-driven. The needs of people, they need the gospel, which it's not terrible to say that, but it's not the ultimate thing. Worship is really the ultimate thing. There are places in the world where God's name is not being worshiped. There are places on this earth, there are people who have never heard the name of Jesus. They've never heard the gospel. They don't have access to the gospel. And this is really what fuels the heart of the missionary. We're all called to be on mission with Christ. But this zeal, this is to make us zealous for the Lord, for his name to be known among the people who have never heard his name. Because the Bible's clear that there's coming a day where there's going to be people from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation worshiping before the throne of God. And the fact that there are these people who are out there who've never heard the gospel, who've never heard about Jesus, there's a call on us, those of us who have this knowledge, who've received this gospel, to go out to the nations, to fulfill the Great Commission, the thing that Jesus told us to do before he ascended into heaven, to go therefore into all the world and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That's our call. But again, the ultimate motivation is the glory of God. Piper again says this. He says, the goal of missions is the gladness of the peoples in the greatness of God. I love that. The goal of missions is the gladness of the peoples in the greatness of God. And that's what we see here that the psalmist is really getting at in verses 2 through 5. Because look at what he says here. That your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all nations. He's like, I want people to know your way, that you're the savior of the world. I want the nations to know this. In verse 3, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Selah, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. There's this call for the nations to be glad and sing for joy in the Lord, to praise God. God's not telling people to praise him because he's needy. Okay, that's an important thing to understand. God does not need our praises, but God is for God. He's for his purposes. And for him to be about anything other than God would make him an idolater. God must be for God and his glory. And we find ourselves happy and glad when we partner with God, when we say, yes, Lord, that is the ultimate goal of life. As one person says, our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee. This is true, right? We look for so many different things in life to fulfill us, to satisfy us. Our thirsty souls, we're always trying to take a drink of something to quench that thirst. But what we see here in this passage is that only a relationship with the living God, the enjoyment of Jesus, can satisfy our heart's deepest desire. And so God invites us. He says, hey, I want you to enjoy me. I want you to take this message to the nations that they would be glad and rejoice in who I am and what I've done. The last thing we see in verses 6 through 7 is the certainty of God's blessing. The certainty of God's blessing. He says, the earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. I like what he says here. He says, we can be certain of God's blessings in the future. We can have a deep-seated confidence and hope in who God is and how he will provide for us. Right? He speaks of the harvest. The earth has yielded its increase. He's like, hey, God has provided for us. God is faithful. He gives us our daily bread. The nations see how God provides for his people. And he's confident that God will bless him in the future. And it's not just speaking individually, he's speaking about us. He's speaking about the community. God, our God, shall bless us. People will see this and they'll fear the Lord. I love what the psalmist declares in Psalm 23, verse 6. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The psalmist is certain of God's blessing. He's expectant of God's blessing, that this isn't just something that happens in the past or the present, that we can be confident that we'll be blessed by God in the future. And ultimately, the reason why we can be confident of this is because ultimately, Jesus blessed us once and for all at the cross of Christ. He gives us the ultimate blessing of salvation at the cross. At the cross, Jesus Christ grants us the ultimate blessing by becoming a curse for us. Remember the promise to Abraham, through you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Through the chosen descendant of Abraham, all the nations of the world can be truly blessed. We have the good news of the gospel. Those of you who know it, those of you who've received it, you have that treasure inside of you, and God's calling us to bring it to other people. There are people who will receive the blessing of the gospel. You've been given this gift through grace, and the call for us is not to sit on it, it's to give it out. You can be confident in who God is and the fact that he'll be faithful to complete the work that he's begun in you. And so for those of you who are struggling with trusting God right now, maybe there's something you've been praying for a while. You're like, I don't know how God's going to come through. I really need some direction, some guidance. I'm kind of questioning his heart for me. I've lost a loved one and I'm kind of questioning his goodness. I pray that you would go back to the cross, that you would see your Savior on the cross, dying, bleeding for you, suffering, absorbing the wrath of God for you, becoming a curse for you because of your sin. You see him there hanging because of his love for you. He says, I am removing the curse that's upon you, and I'm giving you this permanent blessing so that you would never have to question if I'm for you. The scripture says, if God be for us, who can be against us? I pray that we'd be honest with the Lord, the places where we're struggling to trust him, to be certain of his blessing on our lives, that we would gain confidence from looking at the cross and his heart for us, that he ascended into heaven, that he promises that one day he's coming back, that he's going to right every wrong. He's a just judge. As the psalm says, he'll judge the nation's inequity. But he's also a loving savior. He's the judge and he's a savior. This is an amazing thing that God has done for us. He's shown us his love by giving himself for us. And this message is not for us to sit on. It's not for us to get used to be lukewarm, to say, okay, that's great, that's nice. I've heard this thousands of times. No, this message is meant for us to bring to the nations that they would share in the gladness and the joy of who God is. So I pray that God would give us his heart, that he would fuel us, that we would live lives for his glory, that the nations would be glad and rejoice in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.